Several months ago, I was reading and just thinking about what Advent season might be this year, and just looking at the fact that, you know, in some ways you'd like to at least shake it up a little bit, make things a little bit different so it's not exactly the same every year. I mean, I think we expect that we will have stories that are going to move through the themes of Advent, which include hope and joy and peace and love. And as we do that, though, there are so many wonderful biblical passages for us to consider. And it's not that this is going to be all that different, but I was thinking about some of the characters of Christmas, of the Christmas story. And I think it's so wonderful that God chose to use people and to bring things about in unlikely ways. Because I think one of the things that does for us is it reminds us that He will use us as ordinary people. He will choose us and make us useful to Him, and it'll be in a very unexpected way. I think as we see the prophecies, we have a pretty clear idea about some of the things that God has planned for the one who the virgin will conceive and bear a son. But, you know, we don't really know the timing of that. The prophecies of Scripture are always fulfilled in the timing of God's choosing. And so here we were, the Jewish people, I'll say we were as a the people of the world, were in this category of just kind of going from day to day and experiencing life and enjoying that whole thing. The Jews, of course, were struggling because they were under bondage. They did not have the freedoms that they would love to have. Of course, you look through and you know, pardon me, you know that their experiences were great along the way, and God did some amazing and wonderful things for them. But they had periods of time when they moved in and out of bondage. They were in the bondage and slavery to the people of Egypt for 400 years, and they struggled through many difficult periods of time in the life as the chosen people of God. And here in the time of the New Testament, in the time of the birth of Christ, they were perhaps not enslaved in the same way, but they were ruled by a Roman government that wasn't always very friendly. And they suffered, and they struggled, and they had great, great difficulties. And so along the way, they had come to look forward to the fulfillment of the prophecies that God had given to them. They had longed for that fulfillment. They had yearned for how that would take place. And yet, all along the way here, they were waiting. And so here we come to this period of time that really changes time forever. It changes the measurement of time and how we consider. Because prior to that, of course, we've all grown up. We know that before the time of Christ was called BCE or BC. And of course, in the church, we've always just called it before Christ. I think there are some other words for that we don't have to be confused by today. But we consider it before Christ. And then the AD, we've always considered after the death of Christ. That actually stands for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And so this period of time that we're celebrating right now was a time that marked the change of everything as the Lord God was demonstrating and revealing Himself in a brand new way through His Son, Jesus Christ. You all were sitting there wondering, okay, you took the top off. Are you ever going to take a sip, right? Wait, raise your hand if you were thinking that, okay? Thank you. All right. So one of the things that I just love about this period of time is that he used unlikely people. And there was a Savior born whose name is Jesus. But also in that period of time, there was someone else who was born that had also been prophesied about. And that's a part of this story. It's such an important part of this story. And I'm going to read a section from that. We heard the other portion of the angel coming to the Virgin Mary. And thank you so much for reading that for us today. But I want to read a portion of this that tells a little bit about some other folks who were so important to this whole story, and we want to hear these things today. So beginning in the book of Luke, I'd like to read in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. And here it says, "In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Zechariah and Elizabeth. "Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive. And both of them were well along in years." I think that's really important just to slow down and read that really slow, because it significantly identifies these were not young people. They were older people. They were well along in years. "And when his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying to the right of the altar of incense." And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. "And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people.' 'How can I know this?' Zechariah asked the angel. For I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. And when he did not come out, when he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary, and he was making signs to them and remained speechless. And when the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, 'The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people.' And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Now, I'd like to pause there, for we've already heard much of that. But I would like to jump over to another portion of the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth, because I think it's a wonderful part of the story. And here, in beginning in verse 39, "In those days Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, and there she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she claimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her.'" And then I'd like to jump to verse 56. "And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and then she returned home. And when the time for Elizabeth to give came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son, then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her this great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. And when they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, 'No, he will be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives has that name.' So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard about him took it to heart, saying, 'What then will this child become? For indeed, the Lord was with him.'" Let's pause for prayer. Lord, once again, as we've opened your word and allowed it to speak to us, we pray that you will drive the truths that we find here deep into our hearts. We know that you, O God, have done amazing things through ordinary people. And Father, in many ways, we might look back at them and say, oh, they were amazing people. But Lord, you chose them out of the ordinary experience of life, and you prepared them, you called them, and you found them useful to your kingdom's work. Father, we thank you for this story, and we celebrate it today as we begin to celebrate this time of the coming of the Savior as a child. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as I started a while ago, I was saying that a few months ago I had been thinking about this, and I ran across an article or something, and I just wrote down the title of it and looked a little bit at it, and I set it aside. Can't find it anymore. But but what I found was this that I have used today as the title and the thought provoking information for our message today. And the title of this message: Unexpected Moms, Dumbstruck Dads. And I just had to think, you know, this is more than just a one-time experience. It happened twice in a very short period of time where women who were not expected to be having babies, at least in this very moment of their lives, were found to be pregnant. And it is such an amazing reality to think about that here we now have unexpected moms. We have Elizabeth, who was well past the normal age of childbearing, and she had never been privileged or given the gift of having a child, and yet She had continued to walk with the Lord. She had been one who was seeking to be pleasing to the Lord and to love the Lord our God. Elizabeth, this woman who was likely very humble, as you read this story, she says these things that are to us today in our culture, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but in their culture, the experience of childbearing and producing a child for your husband and for your family was extremely important. And in that cultural experience, Elizabeth had come to this place where she felt a deep level of shame because she felt it was her fault, perhaps, that she and Zechariah had not had children. She knew that Zechariah was a godly man. She knew that he was one who walked with God and who desired more than anything to please the Lord. He was of this group of priests that had various assignments, and he knew that it was important to be living his life in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, his God. And so Elizabeth, being married to him, wanted to produce a child for him, and yet had never been able to do so. She lived a whole life like this. And I'm sure that it was pretty natural for them by now to be thinking, well, that's never going to happen. You know, somewhere, you know, a few years before this, maybe a couple of decades before this, they had said, well, it's just not ever going to happen. And so here she is, and still just walking along, waiting and walking with the Lord. Zechariah continuing to walk with the Lord and to serve in the temple. And in this story, we find that Zechariah has an assignment. He'd received this assignment as a group of priests who was chosen by lot. And so it was just an experience for him. We might say he had a random opportunity to go and serve in the worship of the Lord. But let me tell you, it was anything but random. He had an opportunity to go and to burn incense and give worship to the Lord. This was a unique experience every year at this time, as he was going into the temple and into the Holy of Holies. Now, we understand that the Holy of Holies is a place of the dwelling of the presence of God. And it's behind the curtain, if you will. And it's an opportunity for those to go in and to serve in a unique and wonderful way. It's a fearful experience because you're going into, as they understood it, the unique presence of God in their day and in their time. We know that today we have the presence of the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell within the inner sanctum of our lives. And he dwells with each of us. And we love that reality that God's Spirit and God himself is present with us. The New Testament gives us this other variety of verses that tells us that we need to live in such a way as to not quench the Holy Spirit, as to not grieve the Holy Spirit, to let the Spirit of God be free in our lives, to not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scriptures are giving to us post this time of the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. At Pentecost, everything changed, and the Spirit of God was to dwell in the lives of men and women everywhere who would put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, today, as we've celebrated baptism, it's because we know that the Spirit of God has quickened the hearts and the minds of these young ladies who were baptized today, Addie and Judy and Jody. And as we celebrate that today, we know that now, not because of baptism, but because of their choice to follow Jesus Christ and to receive him as Lord and Savior, that Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in them and to encourage them. If they feel guilty, it may be very likely because the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to them about some sinful behavior in their life. And let me just bring it away from them. That's all of us, okay? If we are struggling with guilt or conviction about something, it's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and is present within us and revealing His will and His purpose and perhaps helping us understand that we need to take some steps of repentance in order to be walking well with God. But see, the Holy Spirit is present for us now. This was not the case in the time of Zechariah. Now, we find very clearly in throughout the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit is active. I mean, there are those times when He does some very specific and unique things, and He's very active. And perhaps was more in people than we have clear understanding about, but it was at Pentecost that there was a significant change after the birth, after the life of Christ. And we see this with Zechariah as he was going into the Holy of Holies. At the if you look ahead to the end of the life of Christ and the day that he died, at the time that that he died, as he hung upon the cross, the curtain that protected the Holy of Holies was ripped apart, and things were changed because of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Things were changed, and the Holy Spirit now dwells among us. But here with Zechariah, going into the Holy of Holies was a very terrifying, and for them, they considered it potentially dangerous. It could be life-altering. One of the things that took place, as I understand it, was that the priest who was going into the Holy of Holies in order to burn incense before the Lord and to seek the Lord and to listen, they would tie a rope around his ankle. They would tie a rope around his ankle because if something happened that he was struck by God or something odd took place, maybe his life was taken or maybe he just passed out. They had to have a way to get him out of there without someone else going in there. And so this was the sacredness of this experience among the Jewish people at this time. And so we need to remember that. And that's where Zechariah was when Gabriel came and had this conversation with him. And I love this conversation. You know, some have suggested that Gabriel just got mad and made him dumbstruck. I don't think Gabriel got mad. I think it was all a plan, part of the plan of God. I think it was all a part of the necessity of revealing to everybody, not just Zechariah and Elizabeth, but the necessity of revealing to everybody that something unique, something different was taking place. Zechariah probably was a pretty talkative guy. I'm going to guess that, you know. And at least he was one who was able to very carefully and intentionally communicate the wonders of God. I'm just thinking he was probably a pretty good teacher. But for this period of time, and it was not a short period of time, he was dumbstruck. And I just love that reality. I love the fact that God did something so wonderful and so amazing and so powerful that someone would not be able to even speak for a period of 9+ months, because it says he finished his time of service. And I'm not sure, I didn't look up to see what the length of service this would be. But he finished his time of service, and then he went home. Well, he didn't have an opportunity to be with his wife until he went home. And yes, he was the father. And yes, Elizabeth had never had this opportunity before. But here, he finished his time of service, he went home, and not long after that, Elizabeth was found to be with child. Wow. What an amazing story. And what an amazing opportunity. An unexpected mother, all of a sudden, she becomes one who is expectant and who is going to carry a child in her womb and raise that child, well, birth that child and then raise that child. for the service to the Lord. And this John, I haven't said this yet, most of you may be way ahead of this, but just in case, this John is the one that we call John the Baptist, the baptizer, the one who was, it was prophesied about him that there would be one who would prepare the way of the Lord in the book of Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord and lead people to begin to understand and the necessity and the importance of repentance. And so John was John the Baptizer. And we, of course, have our name as a denomination because of that very reality. We believe in baptism and baptism being this experience of plunging under the water, a candidate, a person who has put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they have received Christ, they are reflecting the death and the burial of Jesus, having also to themselves put to death their sinful selves and their old way of choosing to live in order that they might reflect the presence of Christ in their lives today. And then, of course, the raising up out of the water to demonstrate the joyful reality of having been raised to walk in the new life we have in Jesus Christ. Friends, today, this is a wonderful experience. John the Baptist, the one who kind of started a few things, and then he handed them off to Jesus so that Jesus could be the Savior of the world. He didn't have to hand them off. It would have happened no matter what. But we know that John was a humble servant of the Lord who spent time in the wilderness and called people to repentance and baptism that they might reflect the life and the light of Christ. And so we have an unexpected mom, a dumbstruck, literally dumbstruck dad, because he struggled to believe this thing. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I'm going to say I would struggle to believe the idea that in our household there could be a child born at this stage of our lives. And many of you would have that same. I was going to point somebody out, but I don't want to pick on anybody. Wouldn't you be dumbstruck yourself? My friends, goodness. Yes, it's time for many of us to be enjoying our grandchildren and not be thinking about the idea and the energy of raising a child of our own. Friends, today we look at this, and indeed Zechariah was dumbstruck. And he had to come to terms with the fact that, yes, this was the angel of the Lord. Yes, Gabriel had said these things to him, and he would be faithful to follow through. And certainly he went home and found his wife, and they had a child together. Friends, it's such an amazing reality. How can this be? It can only be because of the work and the moving and the miraculous power of the living God in the lives of these people. Now, one other unexpected mother, one who still had her whole life in front of her, her whole adult life in front of her, who had the dreams that her cousin Elizabeth had had previously about being married to a fine young man and being part of a family and raising children together to the glory of God and to the joy of the family. Here was Mary, one who never would have expected that God would fulfill his prophecy through her. And yet, the angel of the Lord also came to her. Came to her and spoke to her and said, "You will bear a son." And her response was, "How can this be?" Friends, I think in so many ways as we enter this Advent season, We ourselves want to be asking this question, how can this be? Can you somehow return to the wonder of those things which took place? The wonder of the heart of a young girl who was engaged to be married, was committed to a man named Joseph, and yet they had not come together. And the wonder of that moment when the angel Gabriel spoke to her and told her that, yes, even as a virgin, you will bear a child. And her wonder was, oh, how can this be? And, of course, the natural question, I've never been with a man. I've never slept with a man. There is no way that my body is going to produce a child because I have not had the experience of relationships with a man that would accomplish that reality. She knew that. And she knew that she was going to continue to be faithful in that until it was appropriate, until the day that it was right for her and Joseph. And what we learn in this is that she asked, how can it be? And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, so clearly spoke to her and said, the Spirit of the living God will come upon you. Let's back up for just a minute. Let's go to Genesis. Do you remember in Genesis, in the creation account, that very first chapter? It says, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And then in one of those early verses it then says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the deep. Was hovering. The Spirit of God was beginning to do something amazing. And out of nothing, he created all of these things. And he created the plants and the animals and the birds and everything that there is that is on the face of the earth came from the creative work in the hand of the living God. And the Spirit of God accomplished this wondrous work. And then we come to the angel Gabriel and Mary. And the angel says, the Spirit of the living God will overshadow you, and you will conceive and bear the Son of the living God. Do you remember that we're talking about God? Do you remember that we're talking about the Creator who indeed made everything from nothing? He spoke and it came to be. Can he not also speak and cause things to happen with you that are different than any other woman has ever experienced before? God did it. And God was faithful, and he caused her to conceive. An unexpected mom. But let's look real quickly at one more dumbfounded father. You know, I look at that story as we read it in Luke, and we see how the Lord spoke to Joseph. And of course, Joseph first learned that Mary was going to have a child from Mary. It seems that way anyway, because before the angel came to him, he discovered that Mary was pregnant. And so his response to that was not to go and shout and tell the world, hey, Mary's going to have a baby. He chose to be dumbstruck. And his purpose was to do his very best to not shame Mary, because in the culture, he could have done things that would have ultimately resulted in her death. But he chose to not shame Mary but out of his love for this young woman, to do his very best to, as the old scripture says, to put her away privately, to not shame her, but keep it a secret, and to not make a big deal out of this experience. So he chose to do whatever he could to keep it a secret and to keep it quiet. But then the angel came to Joseph. The angel came to Joseph, and as the angel came to Joseph and spoke to Joseph, the angel convinced Joseph, listen, Mary's done nothing wrong. I know it's hard to believe, but Mary has done nothing wrong. She has continued to be the precious, pure-hearted young woman that you had selected and had chosen and that had been agreed that she would become your wife. And let me tell you, Joseph, you need to not be afraid to take her as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing Joseph was a godly man, that he was seeking to walk with God himself, and that when the angel of God came to him, he was able to believe and to follow through with the command and the instruction that the angel gave to him. He went ahead and the angel said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. So he did. And yet, as the scripture clearly gives us understanding, he kept her a virgin until she had given birth to the Savior. What an amazing story. Oh God, how can this be? Enter into Advent this year with an understanding and a clear picture of the wonder of the birth of Jesus. You know, as parents, we try to create this idea of wonder for our children. We love to see the looks on their faces when they wake up on Christmas morning and come into the living room and have the joy on their faces with the wonder of the lights and the gifts and all of the perhaps massive amount of things that are around the tree. We love to do our best to create that wonder in our children's lives. But let me suggest to you today that more important than the wonder of Christmas morning, when we give to one another because of the birth of Christ, we even have this day. But the wonder of the Christmas morning, let us be careful to be certain that we are demonstrating and revealing the wonder of the Christmas story. That is, that God sent his Son into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus born into this world to be the Savior, the one who would pay the penalty for our sins. Friends, today, if you have not received this gift from God, if maybe you're just now becoming attached to and aware of that wonder of glory and of heaven and of the promise and the work of God, then I want to invite you to even consider it today, that it is a good thing to put our trust in our faith in the Savior who is Jesus. If you've never received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you, even today, to do that, to understand that you are a sinner, as we all are, but that Jesus Christ, God being who he is, not able to receive the sinful person into his presence, loved us so much that he sent his Son into the world to die for us. And he loved us even in the midst of our sin. We didn't have to figure it out. We don't have to become perfect in order for God to receive us. God has loved us and already died for us, and we only need to receive his gift and to profess our faith and our trust in Jesus. Today, if that is the need and desire of your life and your heart, then I invite you to say yes. Yes, Lord Jesus, I trust you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. There may be other decisions of your life that you need to demonstrate. If that's the case, perhaps you are one who wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Perhaps you're one who knows that you just need to get on your knees before God and confess your sin and get right with Him, even after having become one who is a Christian who believes. But you know that there are some things that need to be made right. I would invite you, even today, to make that decision. You could come and pray here at the altar, or you could, right where you are, do some business with God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity of opening your word and allowing it to speak to us. We thank you for this story of unexpected mothers and dumbfounded fathers that could only have taken place because there's a God who is, first of all powerful and all glorious, and because there's a God who loves us enough to send his Son to pay the penalty and the price for all of our sin. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Help us in this. We desire that you be glorified and magnified through this time. In Jesus' name, amen.